back on the Boss Man Show, friend of the show, Dennis Gates, Cleveland State Vikings, 15-3, Horizon League, top of the league, Tower, Wright State. Coach Gates, how you doing, my brother? Good to see you again.
Great to see you, too. I appreciate you having me on, obviously representing Cleveland State University. Definitely a blessing, obviously, getting to this point in our season as we wind down in the final stretch. You know, we never thought this moment was going to be as clear as it is now. So I appreciate everything that you're doing and obviously my program.
Coach, I got to ask you about this, man. You have four great guys, man, in the backcourt, man. You got your big man as well, man. Tell us about how those four young men who are about 6'4" in variations of it, but they are playing balling for you with your anchor down at DeAndre, man. Tell us about those guys, man.
Well, you know, our guys are doing well. I think it's led by our point guard, Craig Baudouin, who's been doing tremendous. He had an injury last season, so I'm excited to see his progress throughout the summer during a pandemic. And everything that he's done from a rehab standpoint while he was away from the program this summer in quarantine is paying off. And he's gotten us to this point, obviously, with his intelligence, high basketball IQ, and unselfishness. You know, our shooting guard, DeMoy Hodge, you know, he's a great player. I think he's shown great flashes of doing unbelievable things moving forward. So he's one of the top defensive guards in our conference, but also one of the top shooting guards in mid-major basketball, in my opinion. You look at Trey Gomillion, kid by way of Gordon State Community College. You know, he's been our anchor, man. He's done a tremendous job. He started every game of his Division I career. And he just does so many things that galvanizes our team and keeps us linked in and linked with each other. So my hat's off to him. And then Torrey Patton. Torrey has been our most consistent guy. You know, I can't, you know, seem to put it in words, but he's most versatile that we have. He can play the one through the four. But, you know, for the most part, he rebounds it. He does a lot of the little things that may not add up into a stat sheet, but you know, he's been the most consistent when it comes down to, you know, scoring. And that is something that has led us in a certain way, but it speaks just to his versatility. And our program is just very unselfish, man. And those guys are able to play each other's position, and all of them are versatile. So I'm excited about what we've been able to do, but definitely not satisfied with where we are, because we're definitely – you know, continuing to build.
Most definitely, Coach. And what I like about your roster is that it's balanced, like you said. It's scoring's balanced, not like a 20-point score, and you got 8, 6. Like, nah, those top three guys plus the fourth one are right there together, and also Deontay as well. Speak about Deontay. Yeah. You know, he's your biggest man out there with your starting five there. So him anchoring the defense for you guys on the back line there, when the guys maybe overplay, heads too hard, don't quite drop like he's supposed to, have him back at the rim there, that's for real good, Coach.
No, it absolutely does. Deontay Johnson gives us defensive versatility because he can switch 1 through 5. But also he's a great threat at the rim while he's shot blocking and altering shots, you know, if we do get out of position, gambling and other things. But he's been a great story when it comes to development. Definitely not the same player that he was when we took over the program. And his future is very bright, man, because he stepped in for Aljavon Eichelberger, who has been hampered with injuries, and he is an all-league player in his own right. He was second-team all-conference last year, and, you know, he just had a series of injuries that kept him sidelined, but he's slowly but surely getting better, and Deontay has been durable in that spot and definitely an anchor when it comes down to our defense and rim protection. You know, I'm proud of our bench as well. We're a very deep team. And our guys that have come off the bench have done a great job. Point guard Yael Hill, you know, he starred at Tallahassee Community College. Jason Woodrich, wing, you know, great shooter. Alec Oglesby, who I believe is one of the best freshmen in mid-major basketball. Those three, four guys have done a great job of subbing in and not having any dips or drop-offs from, yes, from where their starters were at.
Most definitely, Coach, and I feel like that's so important. You know, some teams are only playing 6, 7, 8 men max, right? And so, and exactly, in your league where the tournament is everything, right? Yeah. You need that depth. And also playing back-to-backs that second night, because, you know, I covered Atlanta Hawks, so I know what that looks like for pro players, let alone college kids who are not as developed as they are. That second night can tap out, hit a wall. So having nine guys alive, what you can go to, and that second night, even first night, of course, it's great to have, Coach. So foul trouble happens, injury happens, no dips is what you want from your roster, one through 10, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. It helps, because it has happened to us where guys may have gotten in foul trouble. Guys may not have had their best night. And the unselfish spirit of our team says that next man is up. And those guys have stood up. We can possibly go 11, 12 deep. And we have in certain games gone that route. Chris Green, 6'8 forward, is also coming off the bench. Mabor Majok, a 7'2 freshman, has come off the bench. And obviously Demetrius Terry, you know, one of our kids here from local Cleveland, has come off the bench. So that's an added addition to our strength. But our team wins by committee. I think I adopted that philosophy under Leonard Hamilton at Florida State when I was an assistant there for the last 9-10 years. And it's something that has worked wonders in the ACC, and obviously you get to see it being put in action as he continues to lead Florida State University program. So those things I have adopted, and I'm proud to say that our team has adopted that same philosophy and spirit, because they support each other better than any program that I've been around.
Coach, we're talking December. You kind of did not know how to, you know, approach these back-to-back games. So as you're going through them now, how has it been approaching them back-to-back games for as rest and recovery throughout the week, practice scheduling, and also making sure guys can get the right recovery on night two as you get going back-to-back that you got to play there?
So I would say this. In the original schedule, you would have a Wednesday light practice because you would play on Thursday, and then – Friday would be more of a walkthrough, and Saturday would be another game day, and then Sunday would be off. So this year, man, we've had to, you know, allow ourselves to each week reset and figure out what's best for the team, because as you know, there's no such thing as pain-free athletics. These young men, they put their bodies out there on the line each and every day, and, you know, sometimes they feel good, sometimes they don't. So we have to take their opinion and see where they are and assess it. So I've met with our trainer and strength and conditioning coach almost 4 or 5 times a week just to kind of get a report on where the guys are. And we've built it off of that. So each week changes compared to others because of the fact that you don't know what injuries can come up. You don't know what adjustments can come up. But the one thing that we have stayed consistent with is our film sessions and our individual workouts. And I think that has helped us continue to get better throughout the year.
And yeah, it's getting better, and you have, because I feel like, Coach, you know, to be 15-3 in conference play, you know, that speaks to getting better every day, using each day to get better and improve every day. Because as you see, as you both know, the peak time that comes starting next week when the Horizon League tournament starts. That's right. You want to be good for that. So with you all having a bye, it'll help you kind of heal up a little bit as well and know who you come playing against as well. I feel like, you know, because you want to really peak next week and beyond, really not, you know, you want to get better, of course, but you don't want to use it all up right now in February 19th to 20th, you know?
No, without a doubt, you bring up a great point. I think it's very important to peak at the right time. I still believe our team hadn't played its best basketball. And our players would say that they don't feel that they all have clicked at the same exact time in the game this year. And that's what you want to hear, because it means that something great may be coming down the line and your team has a carrying capacity for more. They have room to grow. So with that being said, you know, being able, you know, we know the most important part of the seasons as we get, you know, deep into conference play, but our guys have taken it one game at a time from the very beginning. And they've talked about minutes, playing minutes. And, you know, they look at how many minutes we have played this year. And the most important game is not the game, but the next minute we play. And that philosophy has helped us stay in the moment. It has helped us to not look too far ahead nor too far behind, and just be right here with each other, because we are still playing in chaos. It's the pandemic going on.
Oh yes.
And we're thankful to be able to have played these amount of games. So I want to thank my president and athletic director and the resocialization committee. They have been unreal during this process and making sure that we stay safe, away from hurt, harm, and danger, and obviously continuing, you know, to not have any interruptions.
Most definitely, because, you know, like you said, Coach, you never know. You wake up today, tomorrow, postponement of a game. You may be all good. Or think you're good. You get the test back. Wow. So I feel like, you know, to get far as you have, I mean, I'll be honest with you, Coach Gates, I had no idea we'll get this far based on what I saw earlier this year.
No one knew.
I'm amazed and shocked that we're in mid-February. This is really going to happen. I'm like, I'll keep my fingers for I know your school needs the money. I know other schools need the money for that tournament. So I'm just praying to God that you all get what you need, because I don't want nobody losing their jobs in these universities. These great people, these great staff need to keep their jobs, not lose jobs in this middle of this pandemic. So I'm praying that we keep this train going and we get everybody need, because men's basketball people, the basketball tournament funds everything for college sports. Football is its own thing. It's been the tournament does it. So if people don't get that, that tournament is everything for all you guys' universities.
Well, I'll say this, you know, with the big picture of college sports, you know, every industry on our planet has been impacted by COVID and this pandemic. So we're not excluded from that. But I am thankful for our universities being able to run effectively as best they can and weather the storm. Every profession right now, every industry is weathering the storm and trying to get to the other side of this pandemic, which has caused some to, you know, close their businesses and some heartache and pain and obviously loss of loved ones. I mean, it has impacted a lot of people in different ways, but, you know, my hat's off to the resiliency of our country, the resiliency of our young people to be able to still get to this point in a season. And also, I think the forgotten population in college athletics is the referees, you know, and those people who allow the game to actually take place. Without them, it wouldn't be possible. And they have had, you know, certain obstacles they had to overcome as well in their personal lives and in their, you know, maybe their primary job. Some referees may have lost their jobs, and their second job is a great income or getaway to highlight their life, because it is a little dark or shadowy. And I just think, you know, they have done a resilient job and getting to this point and allowing our young people to compete at the highest level. So each conference office is working diligently. Obviously the NCAA office is working diligently to try to figure out contingency plans to have an effective postseason and making sure we get to that one shiny moment, so to speak, where someone holds up a trophy and cut down nets.
And Coach, let me ask you about this. You got Fort Wayne this weekend. Tell us about seeing from the film, getting ready to prepare for those guys on the road there.
Well, it's a good program. No matter how you look at it, they've been able to continue throughout the years past. Coach Kaufman is a great coach, but you look at their track record in the Summit League. They're obviously new to the Horizon. This is their first year competing in the Horizon, but they've played a gauntlet of a schedule through the years, and you know, this is their last home stand, and they're going to protect their home court. So we gotta obviously stay as focused as we can, stay in the moment, and continue to execute our game plan. But, you know, it's going to be a tough trip for us this weekend. But it's one where, you know, there's no easy games in this Horizon League, man, without a doubt.
No doubt. I had on Mike Davis last week. He talked about how great job you're doing, and how he's proud of you. And, like, you know, he spoke really glowingly of you. And I'm like, awesome. I said, Coach, are you trying to butter him up to beat him? He laughed about it. But,
well, Coach Davis recruited me when he was an assistant at Indiana.
Yeah.
Great guy. He was one of the first coaches to welcome me and say congratulations once we took over this program. But there's no doubt about it. We know it's well documented what he's done in his career and what he continues to do. I think he has over eight or nine NCAA tournaments or postseason appearances in his career. And he's coached in the Final Four. I mean, that's not easy to do now.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy. Some coaches go a whole career without even getting to that moment. And he was able to get there early in his career. And what he's done in our profession, what he's done to mentor young Black coaches and young coaches, to say the least, has been remarkable. He continues to give to the game. And obviously his son is a great player in his own right. As I think he's probably, one of the top two players in our conference. I think he should be player of the year because of the importance he is to his team. And if you take him off that team, Detroit isn't as effective as they are. So he's done it. And whenever you can have a guy that's potentially knocking on the door of 2,000 career points, that says a lot, man.
No doubt. Last one for you, Coach. We lost a great coach, and Coach Lou Hill, man. It's sad what happened to Coach Hill. Tell us about many members of Coach Lou Hill, man. I asked him to have him on the show the week he passed. I was like, wow. You know, I was like, wow, he passed away. I was going to actually reach out to have him on the show. And I'm like, wow. So that's two coaches, Anthony Stewart, who he had on, and Lou Hill, two guys in the profession who were great men, are gone this year in our season. So tell us about you, members of Coach Lou Hill.
Well, I'll say this. My condolences to all the coaches that we lost out there. We lost a great coach in Jimmy Collins. We lost a great coach in Lute Olson. We lost a great coach in John Thompson. We lost a great coach in John Chaney. We lost a great coach in Anthony Stewart. You know, we lost a great coach in Lou Hill. The game of basketball has lost some great men, some great mentors, some guys who have built bridges for younger people and given their time. Although it comes at a cost, they've given their time, even away from their own homes, to make sure that young people continue to develop, continue to reach their dreams and aspirations. And obviously, you know, they never took their role lightly. I remember having conversations with Coach Lou Hill while we're on the road recruiting. And it's always powerful to sit and talk to your peers because it gives you a different perspective, but it's also one where you see their passion, you see their drive. And he was a good friend to a lot of people. You know, Lou didn't have enemies, but, you know, what he was able to do as an assistant at Oklahoma, at UNLV, is well documented, you know, and Coach Lon Kruger, lost a good man as well, because he was on those staffs he hired Lou Hill, you know, at those places for years, and it becomes family at that point. You know, it becomes beyond friendship. So no matter how you look at it, man, you know, again, my heart, you know, is heavy for those great men that we lost. Obviously, knowing Lou the way I knew him, there wasn't a time where I couldn't ask him anything, and he didn't give a transparent and guided answer and guided response. So, you know, prayers to he and his family and those that he's left behind.
Well, Coach Gates, thank you for your time today. As always, my friend, I'll be cheering for you guys against Fort Wayne this weekend, and hope to talk to you real soon once you guys make that tournament, man, hopefully in a few weeks here.
Hey, thank you, man. Continue to do your thing, man. I'm proud of you. Boss Man Show is thriving and doing well. you know, continue to grow, continue to pour into young people, and continue to have confidence that you belong. So I'm proud of what you're doing as well.
Anytime. Thanks for those kind words, Coach. You be good. Be safe, buddy.
All right. Have a good one.
You too now.